Welcome, friends, to the Someone Gets Me podcast. I am your host, Diane Allen, and I am so delighted that you're here. This podcast was created because I believe there is a visionary leader inside each one of us who is waiting to be seen. In each episode of Someone Gets Me, you will hear useful tips from successful visionaries who will share their stories about how being seen has allowed them to take their vision out into the world with action. Today we're talking about creating something larger than yourself. I'm Diane Allen, and I have with me Nina Herman, somebody I've known for many years, who's the perfect person to speak to us about how to create something larger than ourselves. So Nina, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
We're going to have so much fun today because it's so important to see how we can expand who we are and know where we're going and bring it from the inside out, especially with all the turbulence going on in our society right now. I really want to focus on how do we create something bigger than ourselves. So let's hear from Nina. Tell us a little bit about your journey, how all these inspiring things came together and got you to where you are, and then we're going to go a little deeper into what's happening.
Sure. I graduated from college and went into the United States Army as a finance officer and served for 7 years. And part of that journey, I ended up with a lot of pain in my body. And the Army's answer was medication. And 4.5 years, I took 3 different types of pain meds, twice a day, every day. And I knew that that wasn't the answer. I knew it was only taking the edge off my pain, and I knew that I just couldn't live on pain meds the rest of my life. And so I went on a journey in search of what could help me, what could help relieve my pain. I was just tired of feeling crappy all the time. And as I started finding things, I got out of the Army, and as I started to find things that helped me, I was like, I want to now be able to do this and help others, because I knew others were experiencing pain as well. And so I became a Rofer, a certified Rofer, and a massage therapist, and a personal trainer, and I became a yoga instructor, and I became a corporate wellness specialist, and a Reiki master, and I could go on and on with all the different things that I learned then and wanted to then do and be able to help others, an integrative nutrition health coach. And I even opened my own food truck. I noticed that as I studied food healing, I wanted to, the foods that I was recommending in coaching wasn't necessarily readily available. And it was time consuming to prep those foods. And so I wanted to be able to provide access to those foods and use it as an education platform too, to educate people on the power of foods. And it didn't end so successfully, but you know, they make the claim that, you know, any failed business is like having an MBA. So
yes.
I got my MBA through a failed food truck business. But that journey led me to where I am now. And granted, at the time, I couldn't see that. I was in so many different things looking for the answer. And, you know, as I would find something, I was like, oh, this is it. And then I would start working with it, and I was like, this isn't completely the answer. There's got to be something else. And so then, and that's why I ended up in so many diverse areas. And I think mentally it took a toll on me, because I felt, you know, in so many different areas, I felt like I wasn't successful in each of those individual areas. But I just kept working, you know, like I would find something and I would start to work with it until I felt like it didn't work anymore. One of the things that I can look back on now is so much of it came back to a mindset. You know, I was looking and searching for something physically, but not looking internally at where my mind was going and my thoughts and so forth. So there's so much of that. At some point, I just became kind of frustrated, like I wasn't finding all of the answers, and obviously what I just shared, I can look back now and see, but I couldn't see at the time. I was so far into the weeds that I couldn't see the big picture, which is really interesting because I'm much more of a big picture type of person. But what are we gonna say?
So, big picture.
The big picture.
Mm-hmm. So where are you now?
Yeah, so getting frustrated in those areas, not finding what I wanted, I decided that I needed to pursue another passion of mine, which was in real estate. And my mind comes down to mindset. For whatever reason, I had always told myself that I could never, you know, I thought I had this idea of what a real estate professional was, and I was like, I don't meet that criteria. I could never be that. And at some point, I recognized that that was just a stupid story that I told myself, and there's no reason, you know, I've always been interested in building things and seeing things come together and helping people with different things and design. And so a few years back, I decided, you know what, I'm just going to go for it. This is something that I want to do. But at the same time, there's also this, like, I wanted to be able to help others, you know, in alignment with themselves and their health and their well-being. And I wanted them to really, like, help them feel alive, because for so many years did not feel alive. So I only recently decided to launch my Vibrant Living, Inspired Home, Inspired Life. It's a YouTube channel and podcast to bring together to help people live consciously and identify with their health and wellness, but also their real estate passion.
So I work with visionary leaders and gifted people, mm-hmm. of which you are both of those things. And the thing that I find magical about your story is that your mind all along is going, well, I failed at this, I failed at that, I failed at this, because that's what we're taught. But really what I hear is, I'm gathering all this information and tools and all of these things on this journey. I'm gathering and gathering so that when I weave it all together, it is something even more beautiful than only one thing. And that's how I hear it. And at the same time, your ego that's not your amigo is telling you stories, you know, because that's how we're trained. Right? And when I heard your vision, and we've talked about it over a long time, we've known each other for a long time, we've talked about this specifically, about marrying wellness and having a vibrant life and being healthy and your space and your real estate, and whether it's a retreat center or your own home or a sacred space within your home or a property that has the right vibe. That is a really amazing way to look at it, because it's really more core related than, oh, you know, it's on the outside. So I find what you're doing to be inspiring and magical and more powerful than probably we even realize yet, you know?
That's because you're someone who gets me.
Right, I get you, right? And that's what we're called, someone gets me. Oh. So has there ever been a time where you've shared that vision, putting them together, with somebody and they gave you that deer in headlights, like tilt their head, confused dog kind of look? Has that ever happened?
Yes. And I've had both. I've had the people who are like, oh my gosh, I can totally see this. This is awesome. This is what we need. And then I have the people who are like, I don't get how wellness has anything to do with real estate. But for me, like, as you shared, like, the gather, you know, but I didn't recognize that at the time, right?
Sure.
When I've shared, you know, feeling like a failure so many times. But now I can see, like, how connecting the dots on all these different things kind of pulled together and how it weaves together. I do have to work on my message on, like, how to make that succinct so that people who don't get me can have a better understanding of exactly what I see and how I want to help people live vibrantly and live connected and be inspired,
right.
You know,
right.
Not only in their home but in their life, and be connected in their community.
Right. So I got a question.
Yeah.
During all this time when you're learning all these different things, and you not only experienced the modality, but then you went and became an expert in it to then share it with others, which is a whole nother level of visionary from the most people that just try a bunch of things. So what kept you going? Like, over all those times when your brain is saying, oh, the food truck failed, and this isn't getting enough pain out, and this only works so much, and there's all your ego trying to tell you fail. Well, what kept you going from one thing to the next?
If I'm going to be completely honest, after each time that I decided that wasn't going to work, that I needed to do something different, I went into hibernation. Mm-hmm. I went into this period of isolation and feeling worthless and hopeless. And I think probably after every single time I did that. And there comes a point where you're like, okay, I'm done with this pity party. Like, I can't take it anymore. There are other people out there who need what I have. I know there was a gentleman who has since passed away. I was having lunch with him and was sharing some things, and he looked at me and he said, why have you been so selfish? You know, like, why aren't you sharing this? Why is this the first time that I've heard this and you're not sharing it? You know, other people besides me need to hear your message. And so little things like that would kind of pull me out of my shell of, like, oh my gosh, I can't just sit here and feel sorry for myself. Like, I do have a message, and I'm on this earth for a reason, and I've gone through these things for a reason and I just need to push forward, and something else would come along my way and I'd be like, okay, like this happened for a reason, and the timing and every single thing I could see, like this happened for a reason. There's a timing, and then I'd start to pursue something else.
Well, that's great. So you have a natural curiosity and a natural open-mindedness. That is probably part of those essential gifts that you have that just are in you. So unless you notice it, it's just kind of there. So I think being open-minded and being curious is key in any kind of growth or whatever we're doing. I think it's part of our development, you know, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
So is there a particular situation you can think about, maybe a client that you helped find the right place using your knowledge of vibrant living and health and wholeness and real estate that you've helped, that you would like to share kind of like where they started and what you did to help them and what how it's turning out? Maybe it's not even already done yet, but how that flow looks. Yeah, I'd like people to understand a little bit about how you think, like, what am I looking for? What is Nina doing that's marrying these two things that seem so separate, but yet they're joining so beautifully?
Yeah. So real estate is one of the top five biggest stressors in our lives, right? And so one of the things that's clear to me, and knowing that, you know, 90-95% of our health issues come from stress. So knowing that and knowing that I want to impact people's health for the better, I wanted to relieve the stress of that process. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of key pieces to that. One is being clear on what somebody wants, you know, like helping them from the get-go. Because if you are just not sure of what you want and you're going to search hundreds of properties and then you get overwhelmed and you're looking at properties and it's just overwhelming. It's an overwhelming and stressful process. But if we can get clear from the very get-go on exactly what you want in the community, the feel, what activities that you love and enjoy doing in the community, type of community that you want to be close and centered around, what type of home you want, like, and there's other different things of like, once you have the home, creating it for the actual space that you want, but it does help to identify, do you want space that can be shared space? Do you want alone space? You know, how can you, what do you want in a home? The outside, I love being outdoors. So do you want an outdoor living area? What are the things, you know, being really clear on what you want. And I do have a meditation to kind of help people through that process if they're really unclear. Once you're very clear on exactly what you want and what you want to look for, and granted, this is for home buyers, then we can search out. And I do a lot of the research ahead of time. We do have the MLS, obviously most familiar with, but it's not perfect and it's only as good as the information that's filtered in. So I do have to do a lot of behind the scenes research to really get clear on, like, is this a property that meets the criteria, yes or no? And so I eliminate that from the get-go. Other piece of it is that I think is big is respect. So, and understanding. So throughout the entire process, there's two parties involved. And really there's four, because both the buyer and the seller have their own agents. Sometimes that agent is the same person, but there's four parties involved in this process. And granted, there's also a million other people of title and the lender and all kinds of people on the outside that have to be involved. But just having respect for all the parties and having an understanding and a compassion of what the other parties are going through. And when you come to a transaction with respect and a fairness, working together, knowing that the other party is not out to screw you over, or they're not out to do something wrong, or they're not trying to get one over on you, but really understanding that they're here, they're selling for whatever reason that they're selling for. But if you have that understanding and respect for what they're going through, and in some cases, I just had one where this woman built the home with her husband. He had since passed away and she had moved into, or was moving into an assisted living, so she had to sell it. But this is the home where she raised her children, they built the home. You know, there's just so many things that are tied to that home. And so having my buyer who just completely respected that whole process, it just allowed for an easy flow. These two, we closed at the same closing table and they talked and talked. The closing was longer than normal because these two people just talked and shared and had this common interest of, it was the passing of like one major thing to another. You know, like, right. This was a major part of her life. She's now passing it on to this other gentleman who is going to be a major part of his life. And it was just really cool to see the respect and the love of shared. And that eliminates the stress. Like when you recognize and go through that process without, you know, the anger of what somebody's doing or not doing. And, you know, there's, if you can work together, that just eliminates and the amount of stress that goes through that process. So I think those are probably the two biggest things that I like to go through with clients to help alleviate the stress.
Oh, I love that, because all I keep thinking is it takes the adversarial posture out of things. And I know so many people in the real estate business that are adversarial by nature in a lot of ways, or tend to be that way, like suspicious of the other party and trying to figure out what their thing is instead of just being open. And when we're adversarial, or we're negative, or we're trying to assign motive to others, then that creates fear, and fear creates a suppressed immune system that then create physical illness in all people involved, whoever's got the fear running, right? And so that goes perfectly with your idea of, and your belief in, keeping things in a wellness kind of vital, you know, way of living. And so I really love that, because I think it's important for the people to have the connection to who the next person is, like passing on the torch in whatever that is, or the buyer to be able then to have some respect for what they're receiving, more than just like the piece of land and the building and the structure, that there's more going on with everything. So I love that story, and I love that you come to it from a compassionate, understanding kind of place instead of a, you know, I'm gonna go get them, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's no one wins. And it really has to be, we have a mutual friend who's, it has to be a win-win-win. Like, every party has to win in the deal or no deal.
Right.
And I truly believe that has to be how it works. For, you know, that way you can, everybody can go home and sleep at night, and you're building a foundation of love and respect in that new place. And it's just how I
operate. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. Now, I kind of want to talk a little bit about some personal things.
Okay.
That kind of underlie, because we all know that you own your business and you're the person who, like, decides what's going on, so there's personal things going on there. And I know that you love to be connected to people, and that you are an amazing connector.
You know,
every time I'm around you, you're connecting somebody with something. It's really, really fun. And so in these times of a lot of uncertainty in the world, because there's all kinds of craziness happening around us, we have world problems, we have election year, we have all kinds of things happening, and things we don't even know about, most likely. What are some ways that you would suggest to people to, you know, maybe think outside of the box? We're visionaries, and it's kind of hard to feel heard anyway, and then here we are trying to feel heard again. What are some ways that you can think of that would be helpful to give suggestions to people on how to stay connected, even in the face of being told not to connect?
Yeah, that's perfect. So a couple of things. So I have a box of cards, and I used to love going to a Hallmark store and collecting cards. And so I collected these cards. I have this huge box of cards that I've carried around with me for probably 20 years, all over the world, literally. From living in different countries in the Army, I know I carried that box with me. And the other day I saw it, and I was like, I think it's time to start pulling out those cards and just send, they're literally 20 years old. Start writing and sending them. Hopefully our mail system doesn't shut down. But I think it would start returning to pen pals, you know, like start writing cards and just, you know, like it would give somebody some hope as they open up their mailbox and be like, I heard from somebody. So that would be one. And then we talked about this earlier, is the Zoom teas or the coffees, you know, having, you know, coffee dates with friends and, you know, face-to-face, or we have FaceTime now. Technology is beautiful in some respects. Making sure that you're calling on somebody, especially somebody who's in need, and, you know, especially somebody who's alone, somebody who's sick. Those people, I know, it's breaking my heart, the people who are in assisted living right now, or in nursing homes where they've shut it down, they're not allowed visitors. And I know it's impacting not only the people in them, but also the family members that aren't able to see them. So just reaching out and making sure, you know, having a FaceTime conversation with those people, identifying people that you want to touch and have some compassion and kindness for, so that they know that they're not alone during this process. Yeah, so reaching out. I love doing, I am no artist, but I love just like creating paint stuff and just creating cards too. You know, like I have a box of Hallmark cards and American greeting cards and so forth, but just creating your own little piece of art and sending it to somebody to share, to make, let them know that, hey, I'm thinking about you. And I think that's so important right now.
Oh, definitely. I think it's very, very important. I was laughing when I was laughing to myself kind of when you said about pen pals and things, and thought about like Elizabeth Barrett Browning. And I have a book at home of all the famous letters, like from Winston Churchill and all of these people who, that's how they communicated. They would write these beautiful letters to each other and they would save them. In fact, I have the letters that my grandmother wrote to my grandfather, and my grandfather wrote back to her, and he was the second most decorated Marine in World War I. And it's the most eloquent, beautiful writing that you will ever read. I mean, it's on par with this book I have that has all these other letters. And when you said that, I thought about that, and I thought about the beauty of what, or how our soul and our emotions come through the writing, you know. And so I imagine when you're saying about creating the card and writing it and sending it, and you know, I have a bunch of cards I've been collecting, and I haven't sent any out in a while. You just gave me a really good idea too.
Cool.
You know, and then when people, we start asking for their snail mail address, we'll go, now what are they up to? Well, you'll have to wait and see. But that's a really, really nice idea, and it's a very simple idea that will really bless somebody, because everybody wants to receive something in the mail other than a bill or junk mail.
Oh my gosh, my mailbox is always full of junk mail.
Right, and it'd be nice to get like a real card.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine who sends cards for every holiday, and then whenever he wants to, and he's an expert at this, and he always puts things in there, like a post-it note or a napkin or whatever the theme is. But you have to be careful when you open his cards. I learned this many years ago, because there's always these little confettis, and they're metal. He gets them in at Disney World and Epcot in the China Pavilion. I found out where he gets them. And so, like, if it's Valentine's Day, there were a ton of hearts and I love yous and stuff. And then, you know, it's coming up to St. Patrick's Day soon, so I'm sure they will, that the card that comes will have something like that in it. And so he's trained me that he puts so much love and care into it, and everybody knows this about him. He's done it his whole life. He has friends that he's had friends, like, since high school that he still connects with, and he spends the time to send, like, love, virtual love blessings in these cards, you know. But one of his friends said once that they're saving all the confetti, and then one day he's going to get this bag of all the confetti he's ever sent them back, which I think is kind of hilarious. But even people he sees all the time, he sends them to. So that's like a really good idea. And so what are some health tips, basic health tips? There's a lot of people who listen to this podcast who are visionaries. We're all over the world. We're in 64 countries, I think, now. And what's happening is I'm getting emails and questions for people on, well, I don't even know if I'm a visionary. I don't even know if I'm that. I don't even know how to feel better. I just kind of have this existential sadness or this existential kind of heavy depression. And they're asking questions about that. And, you know, and you mentioned that after each one of those perceived fails that you see differently now, but then you thought it was, you know, was that ugh, time, you know, like. And so what are some tips if somebody's kind of feeling that down, just I want to give up or I don't know what to do next? What is something, a couple things that that person could do that would be transformative in a way, or at least they could feel themselves moving, that are kind of simple?
Yeah. The first I would say is to maintain a routine. Like, make sure that you're still getting up and you have some kind of routine that you're doing. Meditation and movement are two big ones, and creation. So meditation, movement, creation. So do something in the morning to get you started in those three areas. Especially right now, if when you're quarantined at home, not everybody can do this, but spending time outside, or open the windows if you're not able to be outside. Granted, we're in Florida, so it's nice and beautiful and we're able to be outside. I know not everybody's able to do that, but if you are able to go outside, I spent a lot of time last week laying in my grass. You know, just being grounded and in nature and doing some my meditations while laying there in the grass, and it was so amazing. And then spending time creating. You know, you had shared the story in regards to art with yourself, and I had a very similar experience in art, and so I never thought that I could do art. But I think in pictures, I don't think in words. And so for me to express myself, I need to be doing something on paper. So for people who do express in words, you know, journaling would be a great way to do some kind of creation. But for those who think in words, it could be markers on paper or paint on paper. And it doesn't even have to be like anything beautiful. I mean, it will be beautiful just in and of itself, but just putting color on paper, just allowing your feelings to like express themselves on that paper is such a beautiful thing. So creation. And then movement. Dance. It could be walking out in the open air. It could be running. It could be whatever movement exercise you want to do. Or I love sometimes just to dance, just to allow my body to free flow. There's a form of dance called Nia. Just allowing my body to just move to express. Movement is such key to our health and to anti-aging too. Yes. So those three things are probably obviously having the routine, but then starting off your day with meditation, movement, and some form of creation.
Oh, that's amazing. I just thought of this, what I do with my teenager. I work with a lot of teenagers, and when I try to teach them about movement, they only can think about like working out or something, and they probably don't want to do that. And so I teach them what I call silly dancing. Uh-huh. Like just see how goofy your body can be. And I call facial aerobics, just make your face and all these weird things and just anything to get movement and kind of have to add a little like goofiness to it sometimes to get the buy-in. And that's true. That's so important. Movement is so, so, so important.
It is so, so key. When I was in rolfing school, I had an instructor say that the big toe is the key to anti-aging. Because once you lose your big toe, you start to shuffle. And as you start to shuffle, your muscle and your skeletal muscles aren't moving. They're not fluid. They then shorten themselves. And so you start to lose the fluid movement. And so if you start seeing people in nursing homes, they do the shuffle. So that big toe is the key to like really propel your walk so that you're keeping your legs moving, your arms moving, your body moving. So movement is really so vital to our health and to anti-aging.
That's really amazing. I just had an epiphany right here on the show, because when I had a car accident several years ago, I kept telling them, the doctors, which they didn't believe me, but now I get it. I knew it was a thing. Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you so much. Because my big toe, kept trying to rise up off the ground, and I was walking funny, and I'm like, I'm not walking right. Well, there's nothing wrong with your foot. But it was. There was something going on, and now I walk better because I paid attention to how my feet were, but I didn't know any of that consciously.
Yeah.
That was just like an intuitive thing or something. Thank you for saying that. Now I feel like less goofy. Well, I'm goofy, but you know.
Yeah, our feet are our foundation.
Right. I remember when I got rolfed and the moment that they did my feet, and I had to buy all new shoes because I didn't know, but I was spinning as I walked, and it really fixed me. And it was the best thing I ever did. Being rolfed, I got rolfed so I could grow from 4'11 to 5 feet, because I heard you could grow a whole inch. But I only grew 3/4 of an inch. And I loved being rolfed because it just freed me up from things I didn't even know were stopping me.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was amazing. And when I met you and you said you were a rolfer, I'm like, yes, I just love it. So I have a couple other questions.
Sure.
One is, what is the most memorable food you have eaten in all of your adventures? You've been in the army, you've been all over the world, you love to explore things. And so when you think back on something that was memorable that you have eaten food-wise, what would you say it is?
That is a good question. In South Korea, I ate yakimandu, which is like potstickers, right? I don't know that it would be the most memorable, but for this Kansas girl who only ate meat and potatoes, anything that like mixed things together, like no way, like that was not happening. So I think that was like my first experience of like, and everybody ate it and everybody loved it and they would dip it in their soy sauce. And initially I was like, yep, there's no way. There is no way I'm touching that. And at some point, someone convinced me to try it, and it became like my all-time favorite thing. And so anytime somebody talks about South Korean food, I'm like, yakimandu, yakimandu. So that's what immediately came to mind was the yakimandu.
Well, that is a memorable food because it changed your whole perception of that kind of food. And so as we get ready to close, I have one last question. But before I ask that, is there anything that you wanted to share that I haven't asked you about?
Anything that I want to share? What immediately comes to mind is love and connection over fear and separation. I think that's like what I stand on now with my family and with friends. Of fear and separation causes so much pain and heartache and illness, and I feel like that's what I stand on. Like, that's part of my purpose in this life, is building and sharing the importance of love and connection.
Oh, I love it. I always tell everybody, connection is the correction.
Yeah.
And so that's really, really beautiful. Thank you so much. So your final question is, we're going to put a billboard up that the whole world can see. What are you going to put on it?
Oof. Man, that's tough. Love and connection.
Love and connection, right? That would be perfect, right? Be loving, have connection, love and connection. There's all kinds of ways you could do that, right?
Yeah.
That's a great message. I think it's so important. It's so needed when it's time to come together. The world is changing so rapidly in so many ways that love and connection is the driving force. That's so vital. So I want to thank you for being here with me on Someone Gets Me, because I think that your presence is absolutely amazing. Tell everybody about your podcast and how they can find you. So if you're really loving what Nina's talking about, like I am, then look her up and let her know you heard about her on the show. So let everybody know, what is your podcast name?
Thank you.
And how to get there.
Yeah, it is Vibrant Living, Inspired Home, Inspired Life. There are actually several Vibrant Living podcasts out there, so you have to look for the one with my name and picture on it. It's on iTunes and Stitcher.
Mm-hmm. And YouTube.
And YouTube, yeah. Vibrant Living Group is my real estate business. I believe my YouTube channel is Vibrant Living Group.
Perfect. And we'll put all that information in the show notes, so you can just click in the show notes, find Nina, and let her know you heard her on the show. And most importantly, if you're looking for property in the Sarasota area here in Florida, she's the go-to person, obviously, especially if you want to have really neat space, because she'll help guide you in a way where you will feel not just like it's a house, but it's that place meant for your soul. And that's what we need to do. So thank you, Nina, for being on the show.
Thank you, Diane. It's a pleasure being here.
All right. Remember, everybody, you're a rock star, and you're here on purpose with a purpose. So until the next episode of Someone Gets Me, remember to be well.
Thank you for listening. I trust you gained some valuable inspiration and information. Please join me and other visionaries in the Someone Gets Me Facebook group. Or for more information on my services and additional episodes, visit SomeoneGetsMe.com. Again, thanks for listening.